Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with episode number 130, Running and the Holidays. Welcome to the Mojo for Running podcast. I'm the coach, Debbie Voiles, and this is the podcast for middle of the packers. Regular people not afraid to work up a sweat, who embrace the outdoors and that wonderful feeling of endorphins surging through their veins. My goal is to provide the information you need to achieve your goals. I have a timely topic to discuss today, and that is the issue of how to manage your running during this most hectic time of year, the weeks between Thanksgiving and the beginning of the new year. I hope this information will make it possible for you to enjoy these weeks to the fullest, but at the same time, not totally ditch your running schedule. But first, one thing I need to tell you, and that is super exciting news. You can now pre-order our documentary film, The Human Race, on iTunes, and it'll be available for download in early January, January 8th to be specific. When you go to iTunes, you'll see yours truly on the cover. I did not see that coming. I hope you'll order it and encourage your friends to do the same. It would make a great Christmas or Hanukkah gift for any runner. In fact, since the message is that any time is the right time to run, order it for all your non-running friends. One of my friends who's seen it said that every runner should watch it because it makes you just want to go out and run, and it makes you be proud to be a runner and part of the running community. It'll always be motivational for any runner. I promise you'll experience a whole range of emotions from laughing out loud to goosebumps and every emotion in between. Now, let's talk about today's topic, running through the holidays. Most significant of all the issues that occur at this time of year regarding running is that people tend to be incredibly busy. If you have kids, there are lots of special activities, such as holiday concerts for the band or the chorus, plus holiday parties for the school. Then there are your holiday activities, yours, holiday parties for work, and of course, the holiday activities for your running club. I know my Run Tampa Club has three events, a holiday light run, a holiday race, and then after Christmas, a holiday party. Then, of course, there's all the shopping to do. Extra food to prepare, decorating the house, and then, once that's behind you, you even have New Year's activities starting. All that, added to your usual life schedule, may seem to completely preclude any possibility of any running activities. I get it. So what do you do? Well, let's start with what not to do. Do not make the all too common mistake of giving up. Of saying to yourself, oh, well, I'll just let go of my running for now and I'll resume after the first of the year. That is the worst possible way to handle this. This is the attitude that many people have about healthy eating, right? Even when they've been concentrating on eating a healthy diet for a while, and they've been really good about it, if they fall off the wagon, then they go nuts, adding extra pounds that they'll later regret, big time. And really, they don't even enjoy it when they are eating things that they shouldn't for days on end as much as they would, because there's that little voice in the back of their head saying, this is dumb and foolish and you will regret it. That little voice is only terribly annoying because it's true and you know it. Well, the same thing is true of running. If you say, I'll just start fresh in January, you'll get completely detrained and you're destined to regret it. Please don't do that. Don't let go of all your effort. Instead, make the decision to do the best you can within reason. That's my advice. Be reasonable. It was Benjamin Franklin who said, moderation in all things. That might just be the wisest four words put together, string of four words that I've ever heard of. That applies here, absolutely. Don't be fanatical about sticking to your running schedule, but don't give up on it either. Extremes usually aren't good in anything. Do not give up on your training. Just accept that it may need to be very limited. The difference between only two runs a week and just ignoring your training is the difference between night and day. I ask you, please, make a promise to yourself and me that you will not let a week go by without two runs, even if they're only 1 or 2 miles. But don't worry about trying to stick to your usual schedule unless you're single and unencumbered by other responsibilities. Of course, then you should continue as usual. But that's obvious. For most people, managing a couple of runs a week might be the appropriate compromise. If you can do 1 or 2 more, great. But don't stop running. Another mistake is just the opposite. If you have the type A personality, then you can't stand to have anything disrupt your training. You feel like you must get every run in. That can be a disaster. It often means you burn the candle at both ends and in the middle, because you're unwilling to sacrifice any running training. But you probably also are unwilling to not fulfill every other responsibility, because that's who you are, a superwoman or superman, who does it all, but at the expense of what? Your own sanity, or sadly, your family, which then affects your own sanity even more. You can drive yourself and your family and friends nuts with your OCD attitude about running. Is that you? Come on, admit it if it is you. That's the first step in working through your problem. And yes, it is a problem. Be reasonable and compromise. I wish I had been able to do this episode 3 weeks ago. I would have said to sit down and study your training schedule and cut it in half for the next several weeks and plan your schedule around events that you know about. If you look at the big picture and adjust your schedule ahead of time, then you don't feel as bad that you're not running all the miles originally called for in your schedule. Of course, one thing that can cause difficulty is that many people have goal races in January. That is a problem. But driving yourself nuts, feeling bad about forcing your training into a hectic schedule, or not running nearly enough miles to be ready are both bad. If you have a race in early to mid-January, my advice is to consider just doing a super taper. What is that? It's just a longer or more severe taper. This is actually perfectly reasonable for this reason. If you haven't listened to my episode on overtraining, this would be a good time. In that episode, I explained that it's entirely possible to overtrain, even though you're doing exactly what you needed to do and what your schedule says to do. The problem is that everything in your life, work and family included, adds to your stress. Running itself is always a physical stress, but normally that's a controlled stress and just enough stress on the body to make it stronger because of the cycle of overload and stress every other day. So in the in-between days, you have recovery and then your body gets stronger. But doing too much too often, or ramping up training too fast, or doing too much intense training, all results in overtraining and can have you feeling miserable and needing to take weeks off to recover. But another often ignored element is that whatever else is happening in your life can be the additional stress that turns a normal training month, a normal schedule, a perfectly ideal schedule, into overtraining. Most people don't get that. Of course, that situation is more likely between November and January. Once, many years ago, I had trained well for my first marathon, which was to be in mid-December. Well, about 2.5 weeks out, my mom was in a serious car accident and ended up spending about 10 days in the hospital. A couple days after that, I'll never forget the day. Actually, it was probably 5 days after that, because by then we knew my mom was going to be fine. Anyway, my brother and I were visiting my dad at my mom's bedside. My dad was his usual comical self. At that point, we all knew my mom was fine. We were just waiting for her to be released, but it was still a few days after that. But anyway, she was fine. I remember how happy Dad was just to have Milt and I to himself, two of his grown kids, an audience for his jokes and stories. It makes me feel warm and fuzzy just thinking about it. The next day, he had a stroke, and he would never be the same again. I'm glad I was there with him that day and in the next week as he recovered. I still remember him trying to eat soup with his fingers. Those things stay with you. It was hard to watch. Anyway, within a few days, we knew he'd be mostly okay. He wasn't in any danger and would regain most of what he lost. He could walk and talk still, and his brain was mostly back to normal. But the stress of Mom and him being in the hospital was tremendous. Anyway, they were both back at home and doing pretty well about 5 days before my marathon. Of course, most of the time when they were in the hospital, I didn't think of it. And when I did, I just had put it aside and thought, well, I'll try again in a few months or next year. But after considering it quite a bit, I did the marathon. At that point, I knew they were both going to be okay, or pretty much okay. I had not managed to run but a handful of miles during the last 2 weeks, maybe 10 total. But I did the marathon, and I was so glad I did. I still am. I don't know if the severe unplanned taper hurt me, but it went fine. I remember thinking as I ran that I was grateful that Mom and Dad would both be around for a good while, albeit with changed lives. You simply must remember that even a little running a couple days a week at this time of year will keep you in reasonable shape. Everybody's different, but if you've been training well, sticking to your schedule, nothing, absolutely nothing is to be gained by forcing more miles into that last 2 weeks if something happens. A marathon, or half for that matter, cannot be ruined by any reduction in training during the last 2 weeks, but it can be ruined by doing too much mileage or by forcing it when you're under too much stress or if you're on the verge of an injury. But that last topic is for another episode. I always say, running should play a different role in your life at different times. At this time of year, for most people, it's appropriate for it to take a backseat to other family-oriented activities. Your kids won't always be young. Don't make the mistake of missing opportunities. You won't get a do-over for that. Take time to enjoy the season, to look at the lights, to attend that holiday church service, to show by your example that nothing is more important than family. Consider this a teachable moment. Show them that while you love your running and are committed to it, you also have the emotional flexibility to focus on your priorities. Show them that you're okay with putting running aside to attend their band concert, or to take them shopping, or to devote a whole day to baking cookies together. They will always remember that, and you will too. Yes, you may end up completely missing your run that day, but a month from now, you won't even remember that. But you will remember making the cookies. Maybe the role of running for you at this time of year should be stress relief and nothing else. Goodness knows, while we enjoy the added activities, they do put us in a situation of needing to unwind. We all know that running can do that. In this case, don't try to maintain a certain pace or go a certain distance. Just do what feels good. Your heart will tell you. Another consideration is to focus more on cross training, because you can do a lot of cross training, believe it or not, in 5 or 10 minutes, and you can do a massive amount in 20, and that will have a great impact on your running when you can get back to it. I always assign homework to my coaching group, and it's usually something like this, which I call a sandwich. The bun, the top, the first thing, is to run in place for 1 minute with a cadence of 180. You can download a phone app to beat to the correct cadence. And I hope you've all listened to my podcast episodes on cadence, because they're probably the most important ones I've ever done. Then they balance on one leg at a time for 1 minute. If you can't do it for 1 minute, that's fine. Put down your foot, tap it to the floor as many times as you need to, I mean the other foot, to catch your balance during that minute. Every time you do, you are training your brain and improving your balance. So it's very effective. If you don't think that's important, balance, please go back and listen to episodes number 85 and 86. That's right, two episodes. That's how much emphasis I put on balance. Then it's time for the meat of the workout. You then do the two hardest parts, a 1 minute plank followed by a 1 minute bridge. Both excellent exercises for strengthening your core. Then the other half of the bun, or the bottom of the bun, is another 1 minute of running in place at 180 cadence. That's just a 5 minute block of time, but it will impact your running form and thereby help to prevent injuries and also improve your speed and overall fitness if you do it every day. And seriously, you can always find 5 minutes. This workout is perfect for doing in the evening in your living room. If you have young or young-ish children, you can get them to do it with you. Then they'll think of it as fun. And what I would do is make a chart and make it a family project for the holidays. Do it every day until New Year's, and then plan a reward at the end. Maybe get them something like a generic medal, or you can make one. and be sure and brag about their commitment to the family when you're together during the holidays. Tell them what the kids have been doing. The kids will be anxious to show them how long they can do a bridge, how long they can do a plank. And think about the impact of that on their brain and their minds and their futures. Another related piece of advice, try very hard not to eat mindlessly. There is food everywhere at this time of year. It's at work every day in most workplaces. Again, moderation is key. I believe in letting yourself enjoy things. If you deprive yourself, then you'll likely eventually cave in and then overdo. I say plan your indulgences. For me, as you likely know from my previous episodes, I eat very low carb. No bread, no pasta, no rice, no potatoes, 90% of the time. But one of my favorite foods is pecan pie. That's extremely high carb, high calorie, and it's not even that good for you. It's only because it's got so much sugar in it. So anyway, I made a pecan pie at Thanksgiving and I'll make another one at Christmas. And yes, I will enjoy more than one piece over the weekend or over the several days around Christmas. And then again, I might make another one for New Year's. I'll indulge in stuffing and other carbs that I don't normally eat as well. But I'm careful not to eat things that aren't really special to me. That's my compromise. Then I do a bone broth fast the day I'm ready to return to my normal healthy diet as sort of a quick reset. Just keep in mind that every pound you gain is an extra pound over every extra pound you gain over the holidays is a pound you will have to lose. Gaining one isn't a big deal, but if you train less and eat a lot of extra goodies, you could be facing losing an extra 5, and it probably isn't worth it. One more thing. Many runners, maybe most, keep track of their mileage, tracking it throughout the year, and most have a goal for that year. That's all fine and good if you're consistent throughout the year, but it can create a super big threat when December rolls around if you're behind. Yes, some people try to run many more miles than usual or than reasonable because they've slipped up several weeks or many weeks during the year, but yet they're determined to still achieve the goal they had set for the year. Please don't do that. You'll end up with an injury to start off the new year. If you fell behind, my advice is to man up and have a heart-to-heart with yourself about whether that was a realistic goal to start with, whether you should try again in 2019, and most of all, realize it's just a number, and no one will be upset about you not achieving that number except you. So, in summary, don't give up on your running and your healthy lifestyle choices at this time of year, but don't obsess over them either. Find a compromise, a healthy middle ground. That'll be better for your health and a way of optimizing the holidays, a way to make the most of this time. Now, if you're in the Tampa Bay area over the next few weeks, and I know a lot of people come down south to visit family, I hope you'll come out and run with my Run Tampa group. All our group runs are open to the public. You don't have to tell us you're coming out either. You don't have to send me an email. You just show up. It's easy. You just show up. We stand in a circle and I introduce everyone. And if you're new, I introduce you as being new. And people will make a point to make sure that you feel welcome, that you know the route. It's an incredibly friendly and diverse group. That's why we have 416 club members. We're like a family, but one that loves to have company. Our weekly long run is from 7 to 9 a.m. on Saturdays. No set distance, and you can do 3 miles or 20. Although, those going that far, like 16, 17, 20, of course, don't finish by 9, but that's fine. Our runs are characterized by being unstructured, deliberately. You go as fast as you want, as far as you want, you turn around when you want. I mean, there is a set course, but you don't have to go the whole course. And some people will do the course twice. People doing a walk run are, of course, welcome as well. No set pace. We'll have people running 7-minute miles and people doing 13-minute miles and everything in between. Plus, we may have people just walking because they're recovering from injuries or they're the spouse or friend of a runner. We are an incredibly diverse group, and that's one of the secrets to our success. We have members who win races, and we have people who are training for their first 5K. One is just as valuable and welcome as the other. On the first Saturday, we meet at Coachman Park and run the Clearwater Bridges. The second Saturday, we run Upper Tampa Bay Trail. The third Saturday, we run in Safety Harbor. And the fourth Saturday, we run Flatwoods Park in New Tampa. Besides our Saturday runs, we have group runs Wednesday nights, Thursday mornings, and Sunday mornings. I invite you to come out for any of these runs. One important detail, though, is that if we have a group race on Saturday or Sunday or even Friday night, then we might not have a group run. We usually don't have a group run, but sometimes we do because sometimes somebody stands in and actually organizes a group run. But my point is, go to the runtampa.com website and click on group runs. It will go over the location of all of the group runs in general, like where the Wednesday night group runs are, where the Thursday night group runs are, where we meet, what time they start, etc. And then it'll go down that list I just told you of where we are on Saturdays every month. However, if you scroll down underneath that, it's got the date, the time, and the location. And that's where you need to go to find out if there's a group run instead of one of the, if there's a group race instead of the group runs. Because I don't want people going out thinking, oh, it's the first Saturday, there'll be a Clearwater, and then no one's there because there was a group race that day. So that's where you find out that. Our Facebook group for Run Tampa has over 5,000 members. So if you're in the Tampa Bay area and you're not in that group, you'll want to request to join. It's a closed group, but if you're a runner and live in Central Florida and answer three easy questions, you can count on getting in. I hope you all go to iTunes and pre-order our documentary film, The Human Race. It will be available for streaming on several channels on January 8th. You're going to love it. It will make you super excited to be a runner. That's it. I hope your holidays are magical. And here's today's quote. Every night when you go to bed, think about this. Today is a clean slate. Tomorrow is a clean slate. A do-over. Isn't that just the greatest thing? When you wake up, your first thought should be, now is my chance to make today what I want it to be. And keep that thought in the back of your mind all day. Most days will not be all that you'd hoped for, but if you keep that in mind, they'll be better than they otherwise might have been. Anytime you get discouraged, just strive to put things in perspective. And remember, tomorrow is always a do-over.